Hi there, welcome to this episode of the Skiff Meetings podcast featuring Rob Adams, the CEO and owner of Bishop McCann. In our conversation, Rob talks about his journey into the events industry, which actually starts with donuts, surprisingly enough. And I'll let you listen to the story to find out more. His journey also went through a career in IT at Microsoft, which he left for part of his previous company described as going to throw parties. Rob talks about the importance of creating joy, which is actually Bishop McCann's mission and part of how he looks at every event that the company does. He also talks about how he takes a mental picture and he removes himself from every event that he's at to really understand the key things about people, moments, and memories. Rob talks about the younger generations that are driving significant change, but change that helps everybody, not just them. And he talks about how collaborating with competitors is so important. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation, and don't forget to check out the other episodes of the Skiff Meetings podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure to rate the podcast and leave a review. And now for a word from our sponsors, PHL Life Sciences, a division of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. Host your convention or trade show in Philadelphia, one of America's leading life sciences hubs. PHL Life Sciences, the first and only CVB division of its kind, will connect you to the professionals at the forefront of your industry and to a culture you can only find in Philadelphia. A city known for its rich history that's forging a bright future, Philadelphia challenges the expected and defies convention. A world of discovery is waiting. Visit phllife.com to learn more. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Skiff Meetings podcast. I am delighted today to be joined by my friend Rob Adams, the CEO and owner of Bishop McCann and the president-elect of Meeting Professionals International, MPI. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Miguel.
Great to have you with us. I'm very curious because we've met each other a few times and we've spoken quite a bit about our careers, but I've never really learned your kind of journey. And I'd love to kind of get a little bit of a picture of how that went. And I would love to start where you first came into contact with the industry. So business events, the idea of having conferences, events, whatever. When did you first kind of become aware that they were a thing and there was an industry around it, and then take us through to the present day?
You know, my actual exposure to our industry is a bit different, right? I'm gonna use the word donuts as to start our conversation off with. You know, I've had three careers in my life. When I was in my 20s. I started a donut franchise. The second part of my life, I was in technology where I was with Microsoft for almost 12 years, and then Bishop McCann. But the reason why I brought up donuts is why that was such a really my entry. It was the first time that I saw something like a store opening, you know, a launch of a store and people coming together to connect to a brand. And that was the first time that I ever saw the power of events. And then, of course, when I was at Microsoft, so many different experiences of whether it be some of our sales meetings, some of the incentive trips that not only did I got a chance to see my team celebrate, or I was an attendee myself. And then, of course, now here at Bishop McCann.
And tell us a little bit about Bishop McCann. So you joined the company and then you became the owner of it. So what did it look like when you joined, and how did you become the owner of Bishop McCann?
Yeah, so Bishop McCann, we're getting ready to celebrate our 27th year anniversary. And the story of Bishop McCann and how I got connected to it is the founder is Dan Nilsen. He's who founded it 27 years ago. And we've been friends for, gosh, Miguel, probably now for almost 20 years. And when I was at my part of my career at Microsoft and I was talking to Dan, I was just fascinated by a company that was growing, wasn't spending much at all on sales or marketing, but was really just growing on these basic fundamental core values of treat others the way you want to be treated. and was very impressed by that. And as I saw the company grow, we had a conversation, and Dan had asked me to be a part of the board, our Bishop McCann board. And so I joined the board, gosh, that's going back probably 12 years ago. And at that time, the real focus of the company was, is that we, you know, we as a board had talked about that we needed to diversify ourselves, not only in just in terms of of clients, but more importantly, capabilities. And there was a time that Dan, I was in Canada, I was living in Toronto at the time, and Dan had asked me if I would be, if it's something that I would be interested in coming in and leading Bishop McCann. And so I left Microsoft. And I remember when I told my boss I was leaving at the time, he said, "Wait a minute, you're leaving this to go throw parties?" And I'm like, it's a little bit more than that. But I think that what I saw then is just how I think about life in general is I get excited about when I see potential in things that people don't see. And I saw not only a company, but as I got a chance to meet the people and I got a chance to get to know our industry, Miguel. I mean, I think about the innovation of what technology and the speed of how fast that goes versus at that time in our industry. I thought it was an incredible opportunity to show what can actually be possible. So today we are we're a CMI 25 agency, top 25 agencies in North America. We are a full service agency, so we do everything. We have an air team, we do hotel contracting, we do logistics, we have a production and creative team, and we also do speakers and entertainment. We focus in corporate meetings, events, and incentive trips.
Yeah. So your clients are all corporate or mainly corporate?
All corporate. Yes.
All corporate. And how many staff do you have at the moment?
Right now, if you include our full time and seasonal, we're about 250.
Okay. It's a sizable company. And the ownership part of it, how did that come about? Was that just sort of Dan wanted to leave and that was kind of on the table, or was it a bit more complicated than that?
No, it was, no. So Dan is still, the way we're structured today, Dan is in the owner and he has the owner founder role, right? So what that means, he's the cultural ambassador, shall we say, of the company. But, you know, he was looking at, you know, how can he make an impact? How can he make an impact outside of Bishop McCann while still having a key role of culture? And as Dan and I have talked about many times before I got here, is he would say, you know, what got us at a particular point in Bishop McCann doesn't necessarily mean that's what it's going to take for us to get to the future. And so that's where, you know, my background building companies is something that was right for the time of Bishop McCann. And through that, then that's where it created for us to be more business partners and ownership associated with that.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. So I read up on Bishop McCann, of what I know Bishop McCann, and you have this mission, which is we create joy. Tell me a little bit about that. Why is that important as a mission? I think a lot of companies have a more formal mission or kind of a wordy, more corporate speak filled mission, but you go down to we create joy. What does that mean to you, and why do you think that's important?
Sometimes the best things that can ever happen to you is when you have something that bad happens. And we had a loss. We had a client pitch that we thought we had won. And we didn't. And we asked the client, what was it about Bishop McCann that you decided to go a different direction? And they said, you know, we loved you guys, but the other company we went with, we just felt like they had a better mission. And so a couple things happened around that time. Simon Sinek popped up right on my, you know, right up on my YouTube channel. And I was watching one of his old podcasts. He was talking about the why, you know, of a lot of companies have the what they know what they do, they know how they do it, but the why they do it. And I thought, gosh, we are missing why we do what we do. And I started asking people, do you know why we do what we do? And it was a very mixed answer. So we brought a consultant in, and we did a lot of work on why is it that we do what we do? We started coming up with a lot of stories. And the core essence of every one of those stories was something to do around joy or happiness. And we landed on that mission of that's what we do. We create joy. I knew that it was the right thing when I called one of our associates. He was actually on a program, and I said, hey, I want to ask you a question about what we're thinking about for our mission. And he was on a program, Miguel, very tired. And he said, I don't know if this is the right time for you to ask me that question. And I said, no, I actually think this is the perfect time. You know, you're so tired right now, and it's been a tough program, but why do you do what you do? He said, Rob, that's easy. I was just with 1,000 attendees now, seeing the happiness that we created. So I said, so we create joy, or essentially, right? He's like, yeah. And then it was 2 weeks after that, that I was at a conference, and I ran into a neuroscientist who had spent his entire life, he has spent his entire life studying what joy means. And he had a very long equation, and he derived it into something so simple. And he says that joy equals trust times purpose. And when you have trust and you have purpose, that is essentially what creates oxytocin in our body. And when we have oxytocin, that's what creates memorable moments. And so if you think about that equation and how that relates to what we do, we are in the business of bringing people together and building these environments of trust and making sure that everything that we do has purpose. And by doing that, we have the ability to create joy. And the fun part about that, Miguel, is joy is exponential, right? When you have 1,000 attendees that go home and they meet 10 people, those 1,000 people then go to 10 people and so on. So that's how we got there. And it's something that we don't talk about attendee size. We talk about how many people we have created joy for, impacted for within our company.
Great. That's a great explanation of a mission. And I'm glad we covered that, because it's one of those quirky things that has a very interesting story around it. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I wanted to check with you. I mean, if you look back at your career with Bishop McCann and maybe even before that, but probably more with Bishop McCann, what are kind of highlights, or maybe pick one highlight that you can share of an event that you've created, of a moment of joy that you created for one of your clients? What comes to mind if you had to sort of pick one?
Well, it's hard to pick one, but I'll tell you what I do for all of the programs that I do. And I started to do it right after COVID. It was the very first program that I attended. And, you know, when I spoke a moment about the, you know, we create joy and the importance of that, I also wanted to even remind myself, you know, of why it is that we do what we do. So for every event that we do, I have a moment where I remove myself and I find a place, you know, I find a place that's off to a corner, and I just do what I call a mental picture. And I take a mental picture and I'm just looking at the attendees and realizing that the impact of what it means to, for us, for people to actually be together. And I have a picture in my mind. You could name a program that I attended, and I had that visual picture in my mind. And I like to share that also with the company too, of those mental pictures. And I think it's something I also recommend that that our people do, is to always take a mental picture and always be reminded of the good things that we do at our programs.
Just to make sure I understood that correctly, you step away and you sort of become silent for a moment, if you will, and you Yes. remove yourself from the event, and you, I guess, are you trying to sort of just capture the moment in some way, or just sort of get a feeling for what you've created without, you know, you being in the center of it?
Yes. I like this saying that you know, life, you can take it to events, are really made up of three things. It's people, moments, and memories. And so when I am capturing that mental picture, I am really thinking about that. I'm capturing the people and that memory, the people there and the moment that I'm capturing, and knowing that that moment is actually creating a memory. And sometimes, you know, when we're on site, we're just so busy doing the doing, we don't take the time to reflect. And Miguel, it's not like I'm spending 30 minutes on the sidelines. It's 5 minutes, but it's some of the best 5 minutes of a program that I do.
I really like that. I think it's really fascinating that you kind of make sure to take the time to do that. So thanks for sharing that. And you already mentioned, you know, when you left Microsoft, they're asking why you're going to plan parties, right? But when you kind of explain to family and friends, not what you do necessarily, but what Bishop McCann does, what do you say to those that sort of might not have an idea of how the industry works?
I love it that you're asking this question, because it has definitely been one of the more challenging. When I first got this industry, I found it so challenging. I have found it, the way to describe it is, it's a great way to really get to know someone first. So when someone's asking me that question, I'll ask them questions back. I'll ask them questions about, you know, before I answer that, I'd be curious to know, like, when you think about, your career and your life, you know, have you been to national sales meetings? Have you been on, has there been an incentive trip that you've been on? Has there been a convention that you've been on? And almost always someone has, oh yes, I attended such and such. And I said, that is what we do. And then I'll break it down into the parts of the company, the Bishop McCann that we would own. So I found it more relatable when you focus on someone owns their own personal experiences and then relate it back to Bishop McCann, than trying to say that we do corporate meetings and incentive trips. And sometimes people they don't quite know how to relate to that. But if you first start with them and then explain it, it usually goes well.
It sounds like you turned it into a good conversation starter, even if it's not necessarily an easy thing to answer.
Yes.
Now, I saw recently that you hired Todd Moritz, I think, as Vice President of Event Technology, and you put out a press release, etc. Tell me a little bit about the thinking behind this. Is this a kind of a different way to approaching technology? Is it kind of an investment from your side, or are there other kind of components to this?
Well, technology overall, as you know, and our industry, is just the pace of innovation is going so fast. It's actually one of the things I'm very excited about. I think definitely COVID was sparked that. And in order to be able to, for us to have a point of view, you know, of what technology means to our industry, it was really important to add someone as a part of our leadership team. And Todd's role, that's what he will be doing. I mean, he is focusing on doing a lot of listening, researching, but essentially his role will be helping not only the company, but also helping the company, but also the industry, of giving direction of where are we going and what solutions can we be providing to, in our case, clients, also the company, right? Also, you know, what efficiencies we can gain as internally as a company, but also, as I say, we have nothing to hide. So the things that we're doing as a company, sharing that with the industry, so we can also help the industry in its innovation.
I'm assuming that AI is a big part of this. Am I assuming correctly? Is that sort of a big part of
AI,
Todd's vocabulary?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yes, absolutely. AI is a core piece of that. We when we just got out of our annual planning meeting, and we looked at all the core initiatives of the company. For sure, technology is one of them, but we have broken out AI as its own own focus area as a company, and we have monthly, quarterly, yearly objective goals on how we see AI. But yes, that is a big part of his role.
And are you actively implementing AI in sort of different parts of the company, different processes, or are you kind of researching it separately and then kind of bringing it in? Can you share anything about your approach?
Are you ready to celebrate your successes in the world of meetings and events? The Skift Meetings Awards are back for 2024, recognizing the most innovative business events companies across 15 categories, and we want you to be a part of it. Winners will feature on Skift Meetings, sending a clear signal to events professionals around the world that these are partners they can rely on. The final deadline for submissions is June 11th. We encourage you to start your submission today to secure the best entry rates. For more information and to start your submission, head to live.skift.com.
Yeah, and we are using AI today on ways like, you know, internally on how to look at data, but also with caution. We're using a lot of caution because one of the things that you know we really observed last year is everyone's asking the question, what is AI and how are you using it? And so the first thing that we're doing is educating the entire company. I want everyone in the entire company to know what are the fundamentals of AI. And then at the same time, then with the leadership of Todd, looking at what are the areas of where we can be using AI. And I say that the balance between an innovative but also responsible way. You know, we're hearing so many things from our competitors of their the things that they're doing for AI. And it's really important for Bishop McCann that we're really understanding what's the intent of why we're doing it and making sure that we, again, intent and also doing it in a responsible way, in a way that's also creating value for our clients.
I like the responsible approach. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's a lot of bandwagons that can be jumped on, but aren't necessarily always the right thing to do. But AI is obviously a trend that you've already mentioned. Are there any other trends that you're seeing that you're excited about that you're seeing in the future for the industry or for Bishop McCann specifically?
Yeah, I like the couple of trends that I like. You know, I like how, you know, we've called it mental health, you know, but as a focus, I like how we're thinking about that in a different way, that it's not just mental health. It's really breaking it out into physical health, mental health, and also financial health, and making sure we're much more intentional about those three areas. It's something that, you know, we have initiatives around how do we make sure that our employees can be as healthy as possible. We have initiatives as a company of, you know, things that we can do to give people the tools and resources to be able to understand how to have strong mental health, and just little things like meditation that we're teaching the company. And then third is giving people the tools and resources on how to be, what does it mean to be financially strong? And I think that's something in our industry that we haven't done enough. And I think the other area that I really like the focus on is how we are talking about this multi-generation, the multi-generations that we have in our events, and how that is really focusing us to think about attendees, not in a general way, but they are all very different on how they receive an experience. And, you know, we've always talked about having personalized experience for years, but I think that there's something very different here that I think that I'm feeling. And that is that we're beginning to understand that you really do have to think about each of these generations in a different way in order to have experiences that are that are memorable, because it's a different experience for every generation.
What about the generations in the workforce? Because I mean, you're leading like 300 people right now. I mean, I'm sure you have lots of different people from different backgrounds and different ages. How are you managing all that? Because, you know, we're writing a lot about the challenges of building teams right now and kind of bringing people back into the workforce, et cetera. What's your experience in that area been?
Well, we're having our company retreat here coming up in a couple of months. And the whole focus is how to build a remote, how to rebuild a culture in a remote environment. I'll tell you the things that we are doing and some of the things that we are we're really thinking a lot about. So some of the things that we're doing is that there are things that no matter what generation that you are important. And so we're focusing on things like that, all generations, things that are fundamental things, want to be recognized, right? Those are the things, it doesn't matter who you are, that's important. So we have things like we have what's called AwardCo. It's a platform that we use internally that allows anyone in the company, everyone gets so many points, and they can recognize other associates for the work they've done, and it's done in a very public way. We do things like we have these things called Pinnacle Awards, which are incentive trips that we give away for some of our top winners. We do town halls. Now, town halls are interesting because we do the town halls every month, but the way we do town halls, we've tried to really change that based upon how people receive information. Some people are very good at just listening to information. Some people are very good about, they need much more visuals. So we're trying to have that balance on town halls. We try to have much more of a collaborative town hall. So it's not just our team speaking one way. We're trying to incorporate, you know, basic things, even things like chat features, right? And being able to have where your town halls are much more interactive. But there's other things that we're doing that, you know, I think that my point of view on this is that there are things like the Gen Zs. If we just focus on them for a minute. You know, there's so much talk about them of how they're so different. But if you look at that generation of the things that they're essentially asking for, they're asking for work-life balance. They're asking for transparency. They are asking for clear professional development. Now, the difference is in previous generations, it may have been something that we talked about, but Gen Zs, it's an expectation that you have that. So we're looking at the things that, for example, Gen Zs are asking for and saying, instead of saying, you know, they're a different generation, we can't solve for all that, accepting that and saying, you know what, these things they're asking for, they're right. And we need to do a better job as a company, being as transparent as we can, making sure that we have clear career paths for our people, making sure that when we talk about work-life balance, we actually mean it. Things like we launched 2 years ago, we started unlimited vacation, which was something that, yes, absolutely. Was the Gen Zs, were they influential? Yes, they were. But is it something that all generations thought was a great benefit? And there's other things like, you know, another thing that I think that Gen Zs, that I love about Gen Zs, that purpose is a big deal. You know, when we talked about the mission of Bishop McCann, you know, the one question we always ask all of our new associates, what was it about Bishop McCann that attracted you to the company? And without exception, every time it's the mission of the company. It's giving purpose. And I think that Gen Zs are feel very strong about that, but I think that that cascades into all parts of the company. I also think that certain things like sabbaticals are something that we have. We're making sure that we're giving people time to reconnect and think about what is their own personal purpose. So you know, the question is, what is it that we're doing? I think it's, instead of looking at each generation, we're looking at particular generations and feeling that we can, there are things that are consistent that everyone can have impact with.
It sounds like a lot of the things you're doing are driven by maybe a younger generation, but they're things that everybody will benefit from. So it's not necessarily just, maybe they're just not as trained into submission or forced into submission of other generations where they're so used to certain things, yes. Right? They just sort of, they don't
absolutely.
Know that they shouldn't
absolutely.
Be asking that, right? Let's talk a little bit about the future. You know, there's all these things happening. There's things that are challenging. There are exciting things with AI, et cetera. And you're obviously investing in technology. How do you see events and particularly the events that you do and the type of business that you do, how do you see that evolving in the next, let's say, 5 years? I know we don't have a crystal ball, but I'd kind of love to get your view on what an event that Bishop McCann organizes, what would look different about it if it was in 5 years' time?
Yeah. We go back to that belief that I talked about, that saying of, you know, it's people, it's moments, and it's memories. What does that look like in 5 years from now? This is where I think AI and technology really start having an impact on what that looks like. Because, you know, we're starting to now measure these experiences a lot more. We're having an internal, a really healthy debate right now about the difference between measuring emotion and measuring feelings. And that's something that we're spending a lot of time about. So I can imagine that in the next 5 years, we're going to be able to really have good data that we'll be able to understand what are those things, what are the catalysts that will, and being so personal, being able to know, like, what does that mean by gender, age, demographic, and creating an experience that is known to have an impact for attendees at the individual level. I can see events in the next 5 years to where we are really looking at we're looking at events at the individual level, and if someone is, you know, we'll call them distractors, right? They're kind of off. They're not really engaged. That we're really focusing on them and having a way to be able to get them to getting them much more engaged, and then doing so much more studying on the people that are the leading indicators, the people that are the ones that are having the highest amounts of engagement. What are the things that we can be applying and learning from those? So I think it's going to be, I'm excited about the future, Miguel, a lot, because I think that some of this technology that's coming out is going to, you know, we've talked about for years, right, about the, started with ROI, and we've gone to, you know, started talking about the return on experience. I really do believe that in the next couple of years, we're going to figure that out. We're going to be able to figure out that by creating certain experiences, we'll have a certain outcome. And by that outcome, we'll have an impact on the propensity of how someone feels about a brand, about the company. We'll start talking about the correlation of that experience helping with things like employee retention. So I'm very excited about what the future leads is taking us with technology.
I'm excited as well. Want to start wrapping up, but I wanted to just check with you, you know, future, you're seeing this vision, you're seeing these different things happening. Are there any things that you, or any single thing that you think the industry needs to change for that to really come true? You know, and I'm kind of asking Are there things that you see you'd like the industry to do differently? And if you could wave a magic wand and kind of say like, okay, let's change this, what would you change?
One of the biggest pieces of criticism that I discussed a lot when I first got in the industry, remembering that where I came from in technology, innovation comes from collaboration, right? You talk to, it's all about bringing strategic partners together, bringing your competitors together many times and thinking about how they're doing things. That's what creates innovation. And when I got to in this industry, you know, almost 10 years ago, I was very shocked about how we don't really talk a lot. You know, we're very closed, and this idea of protection of, you know, this information that I have, I'm not going to share because they're fearful of something, right? And I think COVID for a moment, right, was a moment that it felt so good that, you know, I was talking to all of my direct competitors. We were talking with each other about what is it that you're doing and how are you surviving? And it felt so good to be able to have that type of collaboration. And if I had one thing that I would say that we as an industry could do today is not lose that. And just have this mindset that individually, we have so many great ideas, but if we can just let people in, be more collaborative, have more trust, and know that if the more that we share it together, the more collectively the industry have, we can be so much better than doing it on our own. Gosh, that would be my one wish that I would have for our industry, that we would do better.
What a great wish. I'll add one more question before we wrap up, which is, I imagine that this kind of collaboration could be a part of this, but if we were to put together an event for you, if there were 100 or maybe 50 Rob Adams around the world that wanted to come together for a business event, what would that look like? What would be special about that event? What would you really want to have at that event? And I think the collaboration piece is obviously a big part of it, but is that what that event would be about? Would it just be a collaboration, or what else would you like to have at an event that's built especially for you?
An event that I would be excited to go to would be an event that is not just peers of mine, but different people within the events space, some outside the event space, that are, we were talking about what are some of the biggest challenges that we're facing and how we are looking at those. I think that sometimes when we're meeting, we are very, I call the snow globe effect, right? We're just looking in our snow globe and not looking at the other areas outside. So it would be, I'd be excited to be part of a meeting where there's thought leaders across, not only in our industry, but potentially even I think about technology, you know, having other technology leaders in the room with us, that we are cross-pollinating ideas. That would be something that would be an exciting event for sure.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. Rob, I want to wrap up, but I really appreciate you joining us today. It's been really interesting having this conversation with you and learning more about what you do and how you do it. Wanted to get your suggestion of someone else who maybe we should have on the podcast and have this kind of conversation with.
You know, the thing about being part of in this industry and being part of the MPI, that has, I mean, this is a good example. How I met you, Miguel, there's so many great people. I think about Tracy Judge is one name that is top of mind, just because I think about how our industry is shifting around the freelancers and just the gig workforce, and how she's really setting the trend around that. And of course, Amanda Armstrong, you know, She previously being at Enterprise, her now being at Encore is certainly someone that's it's always good to listen from.
Thank you for those recommendations. Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure. Wishing you lots of success. You have sounds like you have a busy few weeks with planning, etc. So look forward to hearing more about your successes and your events. And hopefully we'll see each other very soon.